¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Olivia Sway. She's been a part of Smosh for almost 10 years, and now she's writing, directing, producing, and starring in her own short film. People often label her as the random or weird cast member, but there's a lot more to her than you know. I spent today with Olivia Sway to learn about the side of her that she never talks about. Hello, Olivia.
Hi.
Hello.
Why did we just shake hands like that? What was that?
It's just a customary thing to make my guests feel very strange, because I've known you for 9 years.
I know, and that's why I'm like...
Yeah. Hello, good to meet you again.
Good to meet you. Oh my God.
Thank
you so much. You're Anthony?
Yes, so I'm Anthony. I don't know if you know where you are, but we're doing an interview. I believe I met you did I meet you in person? Did you come in and do the audition for Smosh?
It was like one of those things where it was like the last thing where we were meeting you guys in groups and we were pitching jokes and sketches.
Yeah, because you were already like basically approved to, it was like you went on to the next phase where we're like, cool, we're meeting the cast who will potentially fill out the roster.
Yeah, I do remember that day,
You were wild and I thought that was so fun. Like you just were not afraid to go completely silly with it. And I feel like that stayed true to the way you show up in Smosh content.
I think so too.
The one thing that always stands out to me is when we did the live show, because you had this alien character and every time your alien, I don't even remember what the scene, like what any of the dialogue.
And even though.
It was just those lines.
And even though. Here to probe your rectums.
During our rehearsals that part came up, everyone would completely break, and the whole time I was like, okay, but this isn't gonna happen during the live show. This isn't gonna happen on the day of. We're all gonna hold it together. And you come out and say that line and just everyone was destroyed, and it ended up, I feel like, being one of the better moments. It was almost like this release of all the pent up like
nerves
that had, and you just completely diffused it by being unafraid to kind of show up authentically and just kind of be silly.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of my favorite things that I've seen, and I've seen a lot of fans say it as well. There's so many compilations on YouTube of like Olivia weird moments.
Did you make them?
I made 6,000 or 7,000 of them.
That's why you were gone for a while, right?
Yeah. So I left Smosh, made 6,000 or 7,000 Olivia Sway fan cam videos, and then I came back because my job was done.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think that there's just something about that authenticity that really resonates with people. And
really? You think so?
Yeah, you don't?
I don't know. I think I'm quite boring compared to like most of...
Why do you think you're boring?
I feel like a lot of people on the internet are on and I'm like off.
On like to on, entertain?
Like, yeah, they're like entertaining. Like I don't find myself to be really entertaining. Like I'll watch stuff and I'm like, you're so boring. Just coming from acting and, you know, not being an internet personality, I didn't know how to showcase my personality amongst so many big personalities. Everyone felt like they had like a character that they were. There was a video where you could see me, like I thought I was being really engaged in a video, but all the fans were like, Olivia looks so disinterested. And then after that video, I was like, I have to be on. And then that became sort of that my personality and, you know, but I don't know if you felt like that too, where
definitely
you had to be like, always like,
especially when you're in an ensemble, and the bigger that the ensemble became, the more that I felt like I had to do more and more to almost prove to myself and the people in the room and also the audience that there was a reason for me to be there. It almost doesn't matter what you actually feel.
No.
At that moment, it's like the way you're perceived becomes a new reality.
Yeah. That is only like 20 minutes of what you see. You know, like the rest of my day, the rest of my life is so different than what I'm being perceived and edited to be like, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's funny because, you know, I make TikToks and so many of the comments are like, oh my God, Olivia at home is so different than mm-hmm. how she is at work. I'm like, yeah.
Do you feel like there was a time period where you were almost anticipating the way you were being perceived?
Yeah.
Like, so you weren't even like in your body. You were like looking at yourself from the third person.
We work so much. We shoot so much. Mm-hmm. It's almost like autopilot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like default. That. Mm-hmm. But I also just think that it is my inner child. A lot of it is my truth, you know? A lot of my humor is like me being silly and like I love that. And mm-hmm. working is not even work because I get to just play.
Yeah.
So I hate to say it's like work. It really isn't. It just feels like a playground with me and my friends. I feel like this era of Smosh where we're at is like so freeing, you know? Because there's so many there's so many funny people and like mm-hmm. we have these genuine relationships. Not that we didn't before, but like, I don't know. I feel like we've evolved and like with the stuff that we're making, it feels really authentic. And yeah, I'm just like proud.
What do you think makes this era feel different? Is it that authenticity or what?
It is the authenticity. For a long time, we were like, it felt like we were being tossed around, you know, like this company and then this company. And it's like, what? We're trying to find our footing, you know? And now it feels like we're working really well together, every person. And we just gel very well. And I think the content that we're making is really fun. And I really do think it's because we are all having fun together. I feel like now we have autonomy over what we want to make
mm-hmm.
and not just like, this is gonna make us money. Now it's cool to see like people just wanna see us.
Wait, is there a Postmates delivery? Did you order Postmates?
No.
Postmates for Olivia here.
You ordered Postmates? You
no,
always
I didn't.
Order Postmates.
I didn't order Postmates.
Oh, this is.
Yeah, for
okay. You Wait, ordered this?
No, I didn't.
What is this?
What is this?
You're always ordering Postmates.
Shut up. I did not.
You're always ordering Postmates whenever we're hanging out. Did you order this?
I didn't order this. Also,
I think you did. It seems very like you.
Is this like. The name is so funny.
What is it? What's on there?
It says Postmates pickup Irwan. Okay. Also the best and okay, the paid person is Bills Padildo.
What?
Total is good morning. Item is mystery gift. Quantity is 4.
Oh, you got something from Irwan? You got something for Irwan? Is it? What you gave it to me is yours.
No, but you know what's the best part? It's so funny how Irwan gave me these Alfred coffee spots.
they're like mixing it up, you know? They're doing a lot of collabs. They're doing collabs. This is so beautiful.
I know, it's so beautiful.
Marble. How much is this? Like $30,000,
$40,000, $50,000? Probably $1 million. Anthony.
What is that?
Anthony, wait until you try this. You like health, right?
Yeah. I love it.
You love health?
I love living for hundreds of years, you know?
Well, I ordered this shot for us.
Yeah? Should I drink it?
What is
it?
Yeah, let's do it together.
Is this for like
get this ready though, because you're gonna wanna chase it.
Do you feel healthier when you drink it?
Like if I'm feeling sick, I take one of these.
Yeah.
It kills everything.
Kills everything?
My spirit too.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you chug the whole thing?
Yeah, chug the whole thing.
Okay, cheers. Oh, that tastes like I just licked the bottom of a lawnmower.
Doesn't that taste like a pizza parlor? Like because there's a lot of oregano in there.
Oh, it kind of does. Mmm. Ugh.
Do you ever feel sick? If you ever feel sick, you should take that.
I feel sick from drinking that.
It'll be better.
This isn't bad.
Thank you so much for ordering this. I mean, I ordered this.
You didn't get any flaints in there?
How do you know about flaints, dude?
What do you know about flaints?
Flaints are flaints, man. Flaints? I don't know.
Are you talking about the T?
Yeah, it's a
made
up
word.
F-L-A-I-N-T-S.
Yeah, flaints.
How you spell that?
However you want to spell flaints.
I'm making fun of this, but this is literally how Smosh came to be. And in high school, we were like, Smosh, Smosh. They're like, how do you spell it? I'm like, I don't know. However you want to do. Like, what does it mean? Like, I don't know.
That's literally what flaints is.
Can we turn that up?
Is that my Postmates? I think I'm a second Postmates coming in.
Wait, wait. Actually, I think that is the Postmates.
Stop.
Is that the post?
Yeah, I think there's actually another Postmates.
Wait, are you kidding? Oh, wait, what is this one? Wait, what is this? What did you order?
Do I order Postmates this much, guys?
Apparently, you ordered it 2 times during this interview already. This was your look on Smosh for like...
A year.
You wore nothing but tracksuits.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so I ordered another tracksuit. Only the top, though. So only the track, not the suit.
Yeah.
So this is really cool. You should put it on.
Should I?
I ordered it for you.
So why did you wear nothing but this?
I thought we went through this. I wore nothing but the tracksuit. This is not an exciting reason.
Tell me.
I just didn't want to change.
So you wore a tracksuit on Smosh for one year in every video just because you didn't want to change?
Yeah.
Think this...
Is that like crazy to think about?
That is crazy. I didn't know
good.
This would be my size.
You look great. The sleeves fit you perfectly.
Thank you. You said you're getting more...
What's up with... Oh, sorry.
Why is every video a Schlatt interview?
Oh! Why did I do that? I ordered this. I sure ordered this.
That one's definitely you. You know that instant confidence boost you get?
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our 4 favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
From an outfit that makes you look really good. That's what I get with Stitch Fix. Easily upgrade your wardrobe this year with a professional stylist that helps you find new on-trend favorites that will work for you. I just give my stylist my size, style, and budget preferences. I order boxes when I want and how I want. No subscription required. And they send 5 just for me pieces, plus outfit recommendations and pro styling advice. I keep what works and send back the rest. My stylist always sends just right pieces and the fit is on point. It's like they have style ESP or something. I don't know how they do it, but they just get me. Stitch Fix makes it all so easy. I don't like to shop and they save me that time and effort. Plus I get outfits that make me look and feel really good. And if you don't love something, you just send it back. Shipping, returns, and exchanges are always free. Style that makes you feel as good as you look. Get started today at stitchfix.com/Padilla and get $20 off your first fix. That's stitchfix.com/Padilla for $20 off. stitchfix.com/Padilla. Must redeem within 7 days of sign up. How closely do you track your bank statements and credit card transactions? I honestly don't have time to do it as much as I'd like, but Rocket Money makes it so much quicker and easier to stay on top of my finances. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that empowers you to save more, spend less, and take control of your financial life. With Rocket Money, you can see all your checking, saving, credit cards, and investments all in one convenient place, allowing you to understand your spending trends. Rocket Money can help you set up custom budgets by identifying top spending categories and suggesting areas where you can adjust your spending habits. They'll calculate your monthly spending allowance and alert you when you're close to going over budget so you can save more and spend less on things like travel, entertainment, and groceries. They also have a goals feature that automatically saves money for you so you don't even have to think about it. Whether your goal is to pay off your credit card debt, set away money for a house, or simply save your money, Rocket Money makes it easy. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you, sometimes by up to 20%. Saving money on a cell phone or cable bill and not having to deal with customer service yourself? A dream come true. Rocket Money has over 5 million happy members and has saved its users over $1 billion across all of the app's features. Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Get Rocket Money today at rocketmoney.com/Padilla. That's rocketmoney.com/Padilla. rocketmoney.com/Padilla.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our 4 favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not-not.
Very good. I got one here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Have your tracksuit.
Why are we fighting?
I don't know. Speaking of fighting, families fight a lot.
Yeah. Do they?
I don't know. You said you got a lot of your humor from your uncle.
I did.
Do you still hang out with your uncle?
Of course.
What was it that inspired your sense of humor?
I think because my parents were serious people, and I spent a lot of time with my uncle, who just would take me to parks and zoos and take me to McDonald's and KFC and all my favorite fast food places. And he was just always the most, he's just super sarcastic, really dry. He's a very specific sense of humor.
I think that there's when you're not afraid to be silly as an adult, it kind of shows kids that it's okay to be like playful.
Yes, like there's so much freedom and all of that, and you know, they're not self-conscious.
And I feel like play is really interesting because when you're playing, you are experiencing a moment without being attached to an outcome.
Yes, totally. Yeah. And I find that's like the truest form of enjoyment.
I actually feel like that's why a lot of us are nostalgic for our childhoods, not even necessarily because of the era or the technology or that kind of thing, but I feel like it might even be more so because we were more present in just the moment and the little things.
I think about my time as a child a lot. And even though I think in the moment there were a lot of pressures, you know, of getting good grades and being liked by friends and stuff like that. There were those pressures, but compared to adulthood, like being a child is so much better. Like that's why we work together and we play, you know, like we're all kids.
Yeah.
We want to be.
Well, I feel like we all have that playful side of us that is actually suppressed when we get older. It's like,
totally. We talked about this. Yes.
Yeah. It's not even necessarily that you grow out of it as much as you learn to mask it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of times, like, you have to really step up, you know, for your family, for yourself. I notice that sometimes when I'm going through something, you know, more emotional in my personal life and just like feeling more down and sad or like there's something heavy, I tend to use humor and being really silly as an outlet for me to forget about all the harder shit that I have to deal with. Mm-hmm. It's literally like running away, I think, running away from my problems.
I felt like for a long time, it was almost the opposite where I felt like I had to show up and be funnier than I felt because that was the expectation of being on camera on YouTube.
Mm.
So yeah, it was exhausting, it was draining.
Yeah. But you're a naturally funny person.
I feel like I'm naturally playful. Like, I feel like playful and comedian funny are different things.
Yeah, I think I'm playful.
So sometimes I feel like an outlier in ensemble settings, especially on Smosh performing, because I feel like I'm more playful and lighthearted than I am, like, funny and comedic, if that makes sense. So I feel like I tried to push myself to be funny and comedic to fit in, and then it just comes off as forced.
Oh, you think that?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think that at all. I think you're really funny.
Okay, thanks. That's because I'm your boss. You're saying that. Thank you.
No, no.
But
can I get a raise?
You earned it. You know what? You just earned that.
Yeah.
You earned that.
Why are you shaking my... Don't do that. Don't you ever do that again on camera, okay? You do that.
Only off camera. I'll only humiliate you off camera.
Only off camera. When there's this many people watching, do not do this to me. I do think about this all the time. It's like, sometimes I feel like social media forces you to be one type of person.
Yeah, it's like your brand now.
Yeah, it's like your brand. Like, what is your brand? You make cooking videos. You do vlogs. You do, like, I don't think it lets you be your full self.
It feels like you're living in the third person. It feels like you're living, like, a life that's not you because you think that's the life that you should be living. Yeah. It's a little bit of, like, people-pleasing.
Totally. And then it's like, wait, I guess I'm only making this type of content, you know, like, cause like sometimes, like if you watch my TikToks or my Instagram, I'm making a lot of food stuff, right? That doesn't like let me be the playful, I mean that does, but it's like, we also make comedy videos and we also do impressions, we do improv, like there's so many different things that we all do.
You've also gotten into You're directing, you're writing, you're producing.
You just watched my short.
I just watched your short film. This. Yeah, what was it called?
It's called Way Papa.
Way Papa.
Yeah.
It was very, oh, really? Yeah, it's very, very, very good. It was really cool to see this side of you, because on Smosh, we only see one little tiny fraction of who you really are. Mm-hmm. So seeing this side of you, seeing that you directed
someone who
this
Postmates
thing,
a lot.
Someone who, that's your brand, that's you. It's a funny short film, but you're not the comedic relief in it.
The short is about the first time my boyfriend met my dad. My dad doesn't speak English. My boyfriend obviously doesn't speak Mandarin. So at this dinner, I'm placating to both sides and I'm mistranslating everything to keep both parties happy.
I feel like it shows a lot of the struggles that you probably dealt with a lot of like the different cultural expectations and then the language barriers and then what your parents are expecting versus what you actually want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, generally I feel afraid to voice how I actually feel, you know? Mm-hmm. And we're always, like you said, we put on this mask. Just trying to just control the situation.
And make the situation the way you thought it should be. Actually, what you did was you made it, the situation easier in the moment.
Yeah. But in the long run, I don't know, I'm fucked.
Yeah. Has that played out, the
Not
thing
yet.
That you said?
Not yet. But I feel like that is what I do best, is that like in the moment and try to improvise, you know, trying to keep everyone calm and happy, and then later on I'm like, oh no, what did I just do?
Do you feel like making that short film kind of helped you process the way that you will behave in those situations to try to keep the moment feeling peaceful when reality there's a much bigger...
I think making this short film was actually quite stressful.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you wear so many hats in it.
Yeah, I wore so many hats. Like everything, you know, so many things just went not what I planned. So the fun thing is that we shot at the actual restaurant where my boyfriend met my dad.
So it really did feel like
it felt like
a recreation.
Yeah, and that's
that.
Like sort of how I pitched the restaurant. I was like, you know, all of these big events in my life happened here, and it would mean a lot to me if I also shot my first film here as well.
Yeah.
And they never said yes to anyone. They've never had anyone shoot in there.
Mm.
And they were like, okay, we'll make this exception for you.
It's kind of like showing that you really believe in it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think like people really resonate with that. Like if they see that you're so passionate and you really want to make this thing. And
people, and then it has a personal sentimental connection,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, totally. That was such a magical thing. It was like people showing up because they really believed in the story. And that's why I want to make more, because, you know, you're collaborating on something and it just like feels bigger. And it's so fun.
I think people who are used to seeing you on Smosh are going to be very pleasantly surprised by not just like how good it is in general, but like seeing you play this very serious role, and there's so much subtlety and nuance to all your behavior and all the behaviors of the actors. It's really cool to see this very different side of you. And then also not like beyond just you acting in it, just all the different things that you had to do too. You directed it, you wrote it, and it's got that sentimental value.
I don't think I could ever direct myself ever again.
Yeah, what was that like?
A lot of things were happening. We were all confined in this room, and me having the monitor like right below me so I can watch. But
wait,
I
you
also,
had the monitor on your lap as you're acting at the table?
Yeah, I was like making sure like before I could see where everything was.
Yeah.
And it's not like I could watch playback every time because that would waste time. And we had 12 hours.
And you can't get notes on your acting because you are the director.
I am directing myself. And the whole time when I'm acting in the scenes, I'm trying to remember what I need my other actors to do. I remember like doing these scenes, like making a list of all these things that I have to tell them.
Oh, for like notes?
For notes.
That's crazy. I don't know how people direct and act in something that's serious that they have so much heart in.
I think if I had more time, it would have been different.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love that experience because I feel like I work well in chaos, which is probably like not good.
It's just a trauma response. But
it probably is a trauma response. But yeah, like that for me is like thrilling and fun.
I hope you're really proud of it. It's really, really good. And I'm really excited.
Oh, well, when I first watched it, I almost like, I pulled over and I like almost threw up. Like I like cried.
Because you watched it? Because
I hated it.
You hated it?
Oh my God. I literally saw it and I was like, this is a piece of shit.
How do you feel about it now that it's close to done?
We're not we still have some stuff that we need to do. What you saw was like still rough, but I think it's getting there.
Like this chaos that you thrive in, open mics, you do open mics. Like you're doing so many things. You're doing improv, you're doing smosh acting, you're directing, you're writing, you're doing serious acting, you're doing.
I've also picked up on Sudoku.
Yeah?
And that takes up a lot of time.
Oh, yeah. So that's like 50% Sudoku, 50% everything else.
I'd say 80% Sudoku.
Oh.
It's actually really funny to be at an open mic.
Why is it funny?
Well, it's an open mic. You're supposed to be funny.
Oh.
You're telling jokes. It's just funny because it's like you're in the deep valley on a Wednesday at 5 p.m.
How many people are there?
There's a lot of people there.
Oh,
And, you know, you're doing a tight five.
Is it 5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Is it nerve-wracking?
Yes,
it scary?
It is nerve-wracking.
What pushes you to do that?
Being scared.
You just like to push yourself to be scared? And
not really, because I don't do heights. I'm not going to like...
Or butterflies.
Because I feel so nervous, I just really wanted to see if I can overcome that. Yeah, like I'm not funny. I'm not being funny up there. I'm just standing up there being like, okay, now I've overcome that.
Still sounds terrifying.
It is terrifying. That's why you should try it. We should go together.
Yeah, I know.
I just like really, I'm not like doing it like hardcore. I'm not like pursuing that route. Like I only want to do things that I just feel like I have to do, you know?
Yeah.
Like making fan cams.
Making fan cams, making content with your mom.
Yes.
Because you make a lot of videos with your mom.
I love my mom. My mom loves making content.
Yeah.
She loves it.
You said like your family was kind of serious, but your mom was still playful and fun.
Yeah, really playful, so supportive. She let me have so much freedom. And academically, yes, she pushed me until she realized that I was a lost cause. There's no way I'm going to understand Algebra 2. Everyone was going to an Ivy League or going to a really good university. And for me, like, I didn't get into them. I mean, I got into schools, but they wanted me to dance, which is something that I didn't want to do.
Because a lot of the audience were saying that they thought you were a dancer.
I am. Yeah, I was.
So you were a dancer.
Yeah, I did ballet like my whole life.
But you didn't want to do it in college.
No. But that was like kind of the only way I was going to be getting in, admitted into these universities was if I danced in their dance department. And that wasn't something that I really could see myself because I love sitting down and laying down. And like.
I'm sorry, I love sitting and laying down.
Yeah, and the fact that I had to like dance like 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh, I'm so lazy.
This is really cutting in my sitting laying down time.
I know, it really was cutting into my laying down time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm lazy.
You're not lazy though. We just listed a million things that you're doing.
Yeah, I'm doing all those things sitting down. Why do you think I directed a sitting down dinner scene? So I can sit.
So did you feel pressure from your parents to do all that highly academic stuff?
Yes, like I did a lot of SAT prep classes. I did like tutors. It just wouldn't stick in my head. I don't think I have it in me to like be a studious person. And my mom saw that and was like, she was like, I want you to be happy. She was like, we immigrated here for you to live a really full life. You would not have been a happy, healthy person if you lived in China. And that's why she was like, I want you to try out everything. And she was really supportive. And when I was like, oh, I love dance and acting, and she was like, then you are going to do your best. That's all she wanted. She's like, if you like that thing, I want you to do your best at it. My mom is so proud of me.
Yeah.
Like, you can watch all those videos we make. She's proud of literally, I could be cutting an onion. And she's like, I'm so proud of you.
You're not even staring at the sun today.
I know. She's like, you're not even, you know, talking to yourself. I struggle tying my shoes. She's like, oh,
yeah,
sweetie.
That's why you got these, right? Slip-ons?
But yeah, my mom is like so proud of me. My dad, I don't know if he's proud of me. I think he was proud of me when I did this Crocs campaign. And because Crocs is big in
Asia. That's the way to your dad's heart.
I know. I love Crocs. I did a Crocs campaign and it was at a mall in Shanghai.
Uh-huh.
And he saw it.
Yeah.
And it said like my name on it.
He said, that's my baby.
And he was like, He's like, oh. My dad also isn't on the internet. He's in China. I don't think he knows how to use the internet.
It's tough for him to understand what it is that you're doing.
Yeah, and also he grew up in such a different time. It's just like growing up in that time in China is so different. But he calls me every day. That's why I made this short called Wei Baba, because every time I pick up my phone, my friends all laugh at me because I say the same thing.
Wei Baba. Do you think he'll see the short film?
I'm like really scared to show him.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be really critical of who I casted to play my dad.
Oh yeah, he's like, that's not me.
He's like, that's not me. But my dad gave me a watch, and the watch that Jim is wearing is my dad's watch too.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and I think Jim actually did my dad spot on.
You're saying that you're becoming more comfortable in your skin. Do you feel like literally?
Yes.
Literally your skin.
I know, yes.
Do you think that Windbreaker era was kind of to cover up a little bit too?
Yeah, maybe. But I still have to say that it was honestly because of my laziness. It was changing outfits was taking time from me sitting.
But you're becoming more comfortable now.
I am becoming more comfortable. I just think that, like, you know, you're never going to be as hot and young. So
why not flaunt it?
Yeah, look at you.
I got it all out.
Yeah.
Everything.
Just do it. I think there's this toxic thing that I do, and maybe other people can relate to it, is that sometimes I'll like go on my phone and it'll remind me of how I look like when I was in, you know, 2022 or like 2016. Uh-huh. And then like I compare how I look now to how I used to be.
You're like, oh, I'm aging.
And I'm like, oh my God, I used to look like this.
But that's a really rough part about technology in general, is that we're constantly being reminded of how things were, how we used to look. And obviously you're never going to be as young again. And there's the societal expectation to always look younger, or like to age beautifully or whatever.
Yeah.
To age gracefully. But in reality, I've changed my perspective of it to be, it's just a new era, a new phase.
Yeah.
Like you're going to age. You can't stop it. Yeah. Aging is an inevitable part of life.
You don't think that? You don't look at old photos and you're like, that's how I used to look?
Now I'm like, oh, I used to look different. It's just different. It's not good or bad or.
I think for like women.
Yeah. There's definitely a
different.
Well, it's because youth or like looking young is directly equated to value.
Yeah.
To, you know, your beauty is your value.
Yeah. And like physical, like appearances too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm still struggling and trying to balance that self-talk in my head.
But it's also not good or bad.
Right.
One way. We're taught societally that there is a good or bad or right or wrong. Actually, in your short film, your dad character mentions that Westerners see everything as good or bad. It's all black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that's different than culture there?
Yeah, I think there's never like just good or bad, I think. And I think when I was young, I used to always present things like, is this good or is this bad? And then my parents would also always say like, so naive to think anything is good or bad.
It's not good or bad,
yeah.
it's just different.
Everything happens for a reason.
People are like, oh, you're so lucky for that. And then they're just like, I don't know, we'll see. It's like, oh, you're so unlucky for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems like all the unlucky stuff and the lucky stuff all balance out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what life is, mm-hmm. right? It's not good or bad. It just is.
You can't categorize things. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times, like, we put people in a category. Like, you're only this. Like, this is your brand. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, there's, like, so many other layers to it, you know?
Yeah. I think that's the biggest shift in my life. Like, that's what my new era of life is perceiving things not as good or bad, but just different.
Yeah.
Or just the now.
And then it also, and then you become less judgmental.
Yeah, not just for yourself. Well, once you become less judgmental with yourself, you're less judgmental with others.
Yeah, yeah.
The more judgmental you are with others, the more judgmental you are with your internal self-dialogue.
Yes. How do you feel?
How do I feel?
Yeah, how do you feel right now? How does your body feel right now?
Relaxed.
Good. Yeah, sitting is the best.
I feel fine. Yeah,
sitting's
great. Dude, have you ever tried sitting?
Dude, have you guys ever tried like just sitting down?
Have you ever tried sitting?
No one's answering us, so maybe not.
I don't think many people have tried it, but I think that it's something that it's kind of a new.
It's a new thing.
I don't know if it's going to go out of style, but it's definitely in style right now.
Yeah, it's like definitely really trendy right now, and you heard it here first. I do have questions for you.
What?
Like, how does it feel to like be back for a year?
At Smosh?
Yeah.
There's so many layers to it because it's exciting. But it's
you
also
like it?
I love it for many reasons. And then it's also like so many reasons I'm like, whoa, I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, being at a company where there are the dynamics of so many different people on camera, off camera, I feel like When I first thought about buying Smoshback, I didn't realize just how many people were behind the scenes contributing in the way that they are. And the more that you get to know people and the longer that you're around, the more that you like, or the more that I want to lift everyone up. And it's hard to lift everyone. Like, I want to talk to every individual and be like, what do you like doing most? Let's do more of that. But it's like, you can't necessarily do that in that kind of environment. So it's been a learning process. And I've learned that I like to be in the background, look at a really zoomed out picture of this company.
Yeah.
And it's also really cool to see that, or to know, to have confirmation that it doesn't need me to thrive. Because I felt like for a long time it needed me, or else it would fail if I took a single step back. So now it gives me that freedom to take a step back and just kind of empower everyone to do what they do best.
Yeah, we're kind of like self-powered.
It does feel like it's self-powered. Yeah. It feels like it's gotten to a point where the Smosh brand will kind of keep, it'll just last. It feels like it's proven itself for long enough. And I feel like we really know what Smosh is about now. You know, it's about making people laugh. It's about showing the different dynamics between groups of friends and kind of highlighting the comedic side of just friendly dynamics.
Being back, like, who do you think has done the most? Like, who's changed the most?
Everyone's changed.
Really?
Everyone's changed a lot. Everyone's grown up. It was interesting. I feel like I left and you guys were still kids, and I feel like I came back and y'all were adults.
No way.
Yeah. I feel like people are less inclined to people please now.
Yeah.
And they're more inclined to like know their boundaries and what they like doing and show up in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool. It was really cool to feel like all these people that I was so close with, I'm like getting to know them again. Like, we've all aged and we've all been through shit and we're all more unafraid to be ourselves.
Yeah.
I feel like there's more authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people were more like, oh, what am I supposed to do? Am I doing it right?
Yeah,
but now it's like, just be you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Olivia. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was great. I won't touch your hand ever again.
You didn't. I didn't.
Whatever it's never happening.
Never happening.
Never happened. The end. That was my TED Talk.
Thank you.
I hope you liked it. Yeah. Fuck!
Are you okay?
I'm leaving Smosh again.
I'm buying Smosh.
Yeah? Okay.
It's mine now.
Yeah?
Because you did that. I'm taking Ian.
You could have him. He's a lot to handle. You're gonna have a lot of lawsuits.
Oh my God. Well, you can have him then.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I got one here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.